Welcome to the Always Better Than Yesterday podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Hartley. This podcast exists to equip and inspire your heart-centered leadership. Every week, we bring interviews with some of the greatest heart sets and mindsets on the planet. I hope the heartprint of our time spent together is that it creates new possibilities for you and all those you come into contact with. If you'd like to explore what we could make possible for you, then head to abty.co.uk/connect and book in a free 30-minute call to begin our journey. On episode 254, I'm joined by our great friend Jennifer Bailey Hobbs. Following a very stressful but successful career in policing, Jen has embarked on her own wellness journey. She is the founder of Seedlings Retreats and Holidays, who provide bespoke wellness retreats in Wales and Italy and luxury holiday experiences at their home in Aberaeron, West Wales. Jen and the team are all about providing environments that nurture growth, which they proudly achieve in abundance. Jen is an international breathwork instructor, cold water therapist, restorative yin yoga teacher, and Reiki master. She joins some incredible breathwork teachers from all around the world, including the Source CEO, Travis Steffens, who was previously a guest on the podcast, along with Mike Meyer, David Florence, and Noah Aon. It's great to see Jen amongst the greats, and I hope that you enjoy our conversation. You can find out more about Seedlings and the Source app by checking out the show notes. And here we go, it's episode 254 with Jennifer Bailey Hobbs. Jennifer Bailey Hobbs, welcome to the Always Better Than Yesterday podcast. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Ryan, today?
Yeah, I'm good. About 15 years ago, you and I were probably talking. We had a similar headset on, except I was referring to you as Police Sergeant Bailey Hobbs.
Yeah, or Mom even, actually.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be calling you Mom.
Well, I was an inspector, so normally that's what I meant.
No, I'm laughing because, like, my hierarchical kind of, like, yeah, I'm a bit of a pain in the backside, aren't I, really?
But it was quite funny because actually it always sounded like Mum to me, and it's like, oh no, I'd rather you just call me Jen. But so yeah. I tend to break the mold.
Yeah, so you ended up senior police officer. Obviously you and I first started, I think you were a sergeant down in Salisbury. I was like green, I was 21 years old, you know, as a control room operator, and that's how our paths crossed. And yet we're still here like 15 years later. Great friendship, and I'm really looking forward to sharing some of your stories, some of the crazy things that you're up to in the world. And yeah, I think you've got an important story that people need to hear.
Thank you. I'm very excited to share whatever you want to hear.
Tell us about set the context. You're talking about being wiped out to being a warrior. Yes. Set the context. Like, how does one become a warrior? How did you become a warrior?
I think, and it seems strange initially to use that word, but I can remember a friend saying a few years ago, "God, you're just a warrior." And I said, "Really?" And I think what you do is you just have this just innate ability just to deal and just have this resilience, and you just seem to come back each time from whatever you're faced with. So I think probably my story started back in the year 2000. So I was a young mum with a four-year-old and a six-year-old, and I was building up my policing career, and then literally overnight my husband left. And I always said that he was abducted by aliens, because I always thought I had this most amazing marriage, and I thought, you know, I had all these plans for the future. And he left, and then I had to like really, really dig deep, because I was still really super ambitious for work, single parent, and the whole sort of dynamic of my life had changed. And then I think what had happened then from there is that I was just working so hard to just serve everybody else that I just didn't listen to my body at all. I just didn't listen to my body. And as a consequence of that, I landed up having several spinal surgeries. So I had about 8 spinal surgeries in the year between my 30s and my 40s. And I still wasn't listening, and I was still working. I thought, actually, not only shall I have some operations and work full time and have a small family and try and get promoted, I'll tell you what I do now. I'll do a degree as well. And I just throw that in. I can remember my children saying to me, "Mum, why are you doing this?" And I said, "Well, because I can." I completed my degree and I did really well and I got promoted. And I never really was particularly happy. I was always just when I'd achieved something, it's like, what's next? What's next? I'll be happy when, I'll be happy when I get promoted. I'll be happy when I get my degree. I'll be happy when I lose 3 stone. I'll be happy when I find the man of my dreams. All this deferred gratification. And my health wasn't really getting, physical health wasn't getting any better, but I was carrying on. And then 7 years ago was the big turn. The turn was when actually the universe decided now was the time for Jen to rest. And I literally had a very, very challenging mental health episode.
Mm.
Yeah. And as a consequence of that, I just found so many different modalities to help me. And I'm just stronger than I've ever been, a different version. It's a very whistle-stop tour of a 30-year journey. But that's, yeah. So I think it's just, it started to be a while back when the children were tiny and, yeah.
Well, you know, as much as I know about your story, you put your children through education, they're now grown adults with partners, and you have a grandchild, you have the man of your dreams.
Yeah, I know. It's
shout out to Chris.
Shout out to Chris. He's busy doing jobs. He's been told not to come into this room because he will get come behind me and start waving because you've got a bit of a bromance going on.
Yeah,
Whatever I say. You both disagree.
Well, I know it must be like to I have an insight as to what it must be like to live with you. So, I've, of course,
<Thank you>. Wonderful.
It's interesting because I interviewed a wonderful lady called Maureen Murdoch a couple of years ago. She's the author of The Heroine's Journey. And she says that if women don't pay attention to their bodies, are really in touch with it, they'll start to scream, and usually it'll be through the back. And it's interesting how so many independent women like you, I relate to my mum as well. My mum, single parent, doing all the jobs, and she, her back went out. And it, I think it's a story that so many women experience, particularly whether it's the back or the body just screaming. I guess, you know, that journey, I love one of the phrases that you use about, you know, couldn't even run a bath.
Like,
it's easy to say your back went, but take us to that kind of time in your life. What was it actually really like?
What, with my back or my mental health, or
all of it? Like, you know,
think
what was
the
life
back,
like for you?
It was just so, I can't explain it. It's, I've always been super resilient, and I've always had that positive spin on it. So my glass is always half full, not half empty. So, and I just honestly feel my back was continually going to just give me a break because it was so relentless. And I think now I've since found out that if you've got money worries, it can really come out in your back. And whether that's got any bearing, I don't know. But, you know, there was challenges around money when I was younger with the children, and they were going through school, and I decided to pay for them to go through school. So it was just like I was on this running machine of life and I couldn't get off at all. Mm. I was working full time. I had a couple of side hustles to keep them in school, and my health was failing. My physical health was really failing. But that was really easy to hide, not hide behind, but it's really easy to say I've got a bad back. Mm. I was signed off through every operation, obviously, because I was healing. But that's a really easy thing to deal with because I've been great. I've almost great. My back's gone because I can rest, which sounds awful now when I think about it. Because, you know, because actually who would want to have, you know, all those operations? But when I sort of say, you know, I went from, you know, running teams of over 100 staff on all different locations remotely to not being able to run a bath, that is when I really had to face up to the fact I really needed to mend. Because when your mental health goes and you're unable to sleep and you're unable to think straight and process, then everything, you can't hide behind that. And that took me, you know, and I had a few health scares before then. I had a cancer scare. I broke my foot and I thought, oh, I can hide behind the cancer scare. That's okay. I can hide behind the foot. But then suddenly after those had healed, I was thinking, I'm still really, really unwell. I have to be accountable. I have to be honest and transparent because I've seen a manager. Mm. And I thought, well, actually, so many people are struggling with their mental health, but they're, you know, hiding behind that, you know, especially in policing, you know, it's not something that you openly would say as a senior manager. You would never say, well, actually, it's my mental health and I really need time to heal. I can remember when I went to a police convalescent home. I don't know if you heard of Flint House. Well, you obviously heard of Flint House. And I was the first senior officer that had ever gone there on their mental health program. All the rest were PCs, and all the PCs were saying, God, I wish you were my boss. You're just so honest and transparent. And I said, well, that's the only way I'm going to heal. But it was a really, that was the really darkest place for me because it was, quite interesting because I've met Chris, the man of my dreams, you know, manifested this amazing human. You know, my children were in university, had no money worries. I've got promoted to inspector. And that's when literally the shit hit the fan. It was like, what's going on? Every day I would be wake up, the sun would be out, but I would be crying. I was so heavy. I couldn't see the wood through the trees. I couldn't run a bath. I can remember somebody coming in asking me where they want me to put the aerial for the TV. And I couldn't even make that decision. I said to Ed, just decide, tell me where the aerial point needs to go. And even Ed just gave me a massive hug and said, Mum, you just really need some time to heal. You know, where are you? And I said, I'm in there. I will come back. I've just got to find myself. And my family and my friends were unreal. But that's when I really had to dig deep. And that is when that real significant part of my learning, that's when that wiped out really come and bit me on the arse. And I thought, right. And I'm not going to sit back and wait for the medicine to mend me. And I had to go on medicine. I had to have CBT, and I had CBT, which was amazing. But I knew there was more deeper levels I could heal in order to just become healthier. Yeah, and that's when that really
What was the first kind of holistic modality that you got involved in that started to make a difference?
It was Reiki, actually. Mm-hmm. So I was away on a retreat, and I thought, it's in Glastonbury, which we all love. And I went and had my cards read, and I thought, be really interesting to see if this woman can tell this if I'm ill, because I look really well, because you can't tell about them, you know, because you walk in. And I thought, I'm going to make myself looked like I'm pimped. And I went along, and she just saw straight through me, and she said, and just told me that, you know, what I was going through. And she said, you are a healer. I thought, really? And she said, I can see that you're totally protected, and you have, in order for you to heal, you need to heal others, but also you can heal yourself. And this is what I'd recommend you do. So I thought, wow, okay, interesting. Yeah. Didn't really know much about it. Went back to the retreat. I was having a treatment. And I said to this lady, you wouldn't believe this reading I've just had. She says, I'm a Reiki healer, potentially. She said, well, I'm a Reiki master. I'll teach you this week. I went, okay. And I thought, this is a bit bizarre. And then she said, well, this is how much it's going to cost. I thought, like, oh, I don't think I can afford that. I said, let me go and think about it. And a couple of hours later, my son phoned me and said, oh, Mum, I've just put that money in your account I owed you. Exactly the amount for the course. And I'd forgotten how I'd even lent it to him. Because you know what I'm like with my kids? I lend more money than I get back. It just goes into the oblivion of the ever, never get paid back box. And they do say Reiki comes to you. So that was the first thing. And so I really started to sort of do some healing there. And then it was mindfulness.
Yeah.
But even though when I started the mindfulness, I really struggled with staying mindful. I thought, what is this? This doesn't make sense. Because my mind's bang, 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 as you can understand. And then I discovered the power of the breath. And then the breath was enabled me to stay mindful, enabled me to meditate, enabled me to just calm and just take myself out of the fight flight. And since then, I've just been really hungry for learning more about the breath and the powers of that modality. Yeah. So it started with the Reiki, but quickly moved on. So.
Yeah, it's... I remember, I think it was second lockdown, Boris locked us down for the second time. And I was a bit smarter and wiser as to what was really going on in the world and some of the powers that be, maybe some of the mistruths that were being kept. And I'd read enough and learned enough around the power of the body to heal itself, to protect itself, the power of mindset and perspective and belief and fear. You know, the likes of the work of Bruce Lipton and, you know, consciousness. And so I was a little bit kind of like resisting fear. I knew that there was no need to fear these things, but I also came across the work of Wim Hof. You know, for a crazy personal trainer I had at the gym, we got into Wim Hof. We started to get into the river in the winter and started to do this breathing. And a bit like you, my sleep was never particularly that great running a business or just being a thinker in general. My mind was always busy, but nothing quite brought me into the present moment than kind of the breath work and the getting in the river, the cold water stuff. It's just, can't explain it.
No, you can't explain it. And I just see the healing I've done through that breath is just absolutely phenomenal. You know, I've just been able to just take myself into places of just complete calm. Literally, the moment I start now, I almost feel this this big shawl of calmness coming over. You know, it just helps me. It's just helped me to be more considered. It's enabled me to just experience the ice, which obviously, you know, I know you started that before me, but when we moved here a few years ago, it's nearly five now, I just always wanted to get in the sea. And I can remember one February I got in and thinking, this is super cold.
Shout out to the name of the group.
Oh, the Blue Tits. Yeah, I'm not part of the Blue Tits, but I was watching them from a distance and yeah. I just thought, shall I, shan't I? But cutting a long story short, started sea swimming in February. I'd been doing the breath about a year before. And it just was like the girls were saying, look, you know, this is cold. It's like 6.5 degrees. It's going to be really. And I just went in a swimsuit and breathed. And they went, oh, my God. And I said, yeah, it's all about the breath. And I just got in there. And now, you know, the sea's not cold enough. So I've got myself an ice bath and a chilling machine. And that's not enough. Yeah, and now I just share it with everybody. And, you know, Boxing Day, my family come up. They all turn up in their shorts and their trunks. It's like, we're all going in the ice. It's like, oh, my God. It's just.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful that you can just inspire your family as well and your children, you know. It's just
so tell us about this little powerful slice of luxury you've got on the west coast of Wales. Tell us about this vision, because it didn't exist 4 or 5 years ago.
And no,
we've had conversations about being manifestors, and you know, you talk about Chris being the kind of like surrender trust, but you definitely manifest. You've made a lot of stuff happen. Like, tell us about this west coast of Wales space.
And that just reminds me, actually, when I was staying in a really, because obviously after we had sold our house in Salisbury, so how it happened was, I knew when I was at this, lots happened when I was at this retreat, Anchara, just outside Glastonbury. And I was there thinking, there's amazing staff here. This is a beautiful space. This is magical. I could do this. And it just sort of come to me, this is my path, you know. And I can remember saying to one of the ladies, I've just discovered what my path is. I'm going to start learning even more about all this, is what's healing me, my journey, and I'm going to run retreats. And actually, she came to Italy with me this year, and she was the first person I mentioned. So this was like 7, 8 years ago. So we decided that we'd like to relocate in order to make that become a reality. So, and I had such great love and affection for my little house. It had been my real comfort, not my comfort blanket, it had been my backbone, really. But I thought, no, this is the time. And then my mum, rest her soul, she passed away early part of the last year, had Parkinson's. So we wanted to move nearer to them. The west coast of Wales just seemed the perfect location. So we was looking around and we found the Harbour House, which is this beautiful Georgian building, which situated on the harbour and had plenty of room. I thought, God, this has got huge potential, that this could be a really magical space. So we've relocated here. It'll be 5 years in August. And, you know, obviously you've been part of that journey from those early concept days. And I just knew I wanted, because my mental health started very much with the insomnia. That was my first warning sign that I'm becoming unwell. Sleep is extremely important. So as you know, as you've had many times, you've had the opportunity, we've invested a lot in our bedrooms and our linens, and everyone goes, wow, where do you get the beds from? Where do you get the mattresses? But it was about, so that was the first concept that we had, and I wanted to provide those luxurious environments. But I also wanted to do the wellness and the retreats. So basically, over time, you know, it has changed and it's merged and it has developed. It's become just this beautiful, organic, authentic luxury environment where we run wellness days, and we run retreats. We've now got a spa garden where we've got an ice bath, a hot tub, soon to have a sauna. And we've our lounge, which is a beautiful big space, is now our sort of a yoga stroke breathwork room where we've just, and it's just, it's amazing. And then when you have this vision and you have so much love and good intention and, you know, when I talk about it, I feel alive. When I talk about it, I just feel like it's just meant to be. It just grows. And you just think, I never would have thought it would have gone like this. And then this year it might change slightly. And so many opportunities and so many beautiful people have come my way since I've been on this journey. I just know it was just meant to be. And it's just such a wonderful space we've created and a great community here.
We've been several times. I think we've been up there 3 times, brought the dogs, brought the kids love it. Well, you know, the ripple effect is that my wife now has like a matching luxury dressing gown and slippers. You know, that was an unexpected expense when I got home, but yeah, we love it. We absolutely love it. It's a wonderful community, and just even just to, I think me and Corey got in your ice bath, you know, when we were at there last time, and yeah, it's amazing. I absolutely love it. And yeah, it's great to see, because you're creating this community. You know, I think it's a coastal area that not many people are providing what you're providing, this holistic.
No, yeah,
So
it's lovely. It's, you know, it, people are popping up all over with different sort of glamping sites, but no, it's very unique, the space we've created here, because of that, the luxurious twist. And it's a home, and there's a big homemade table where everyone sits around. We've got amazing chefs, so she comes and does this amazing food, and we do these beautiful sort of bespoke days for 8 people, and some, and then we're going into couples as well, couples days where a couple have come away for a couple of nights, and then we provide lots of wellness for them. And we've got a hen party that's coming soon, you know, which will be amazing, because people want to do the wellness. They want to, and you know, and quite often people say, I don't know what I need. I didn't know what I need until I came to Seedlings. And it's just like, it's so much more than just a wellness retreat. It's just a, and it's a portal for transition to growth. It's just a portal for just peeling right back and just being your most authentic self, but actually learning a little, have taken away a bit of peace. Yeah,
think that
which we all need.
yeah, for sure. And I think one of the powerful things that person said to you about the Reiki is that both your healing journey is coinciding with the healing of other people. And you know, so many people might resonate with this. Like, so many people want confidence to be able to show up and do the thing, right? But sometimes confidence is the result of showing up and doing the thing. And I think that's the great thing that you do, is you just put yourself there. Like, it's just like, okay, right, we're doing this. I'm doing this course. I'm going to heal in this modality. I remember us having a first conversation around what should I do with my breath work? And it was like, right, I'm just going to get people in. We're going to just do the session. And here you are, you know, some 2 years later after qualifying, and I've had hundreds of people through your door delivering breath work
Hundreds.
sessions, which
I
has led
know.
you to the wonderful opportunity of being a breath master.
I know. It's just insane, isn't it? It's just absolutely insane. So I can remember saying to you, well, I've done this course, what should I do? And you just say, just get on the horse, you know, just get on. And I can remember saying to somebody in town, got there, she said, there's nothing like that. Just run some classes. And every class is a school day for me. You know, I just share everything that I have learned myself that's healed me. And it just, each time it just evolves. And someone said to me the other day, how do you create that space? And I said, well, probably about 3,000 hours of sharing, you know, because you sit down and work out and think, oh, it's been hundreds and hundreds of hours of classes that I've done now. And it just becomes this beautiful, just organic process that you just share. But yeah, the Breath Master has just been the, so yeah, I'm now on an international platform on the Breath Source app with this, must be about 60 of us wonderful breath masters. What a fabulous community that is. So I'm sat with the greats, you know, and it's just, and learning from them, and sharing my own breath with them, and they're receiving it and loving it. So it's just been a fabulous platform.
I think there's you know, when it comes to like who's our teacher, like I'm so clear that like not like I'm not everyone's teacher. But I am. There will be certain people that will give me their ears, their heart. They'll give me the permission to speak into their life, right? And there's a teacher for everyone. And I think that there's an absolute section of that app where you are definitely speaking to a particular demographic in a way that, you know, maybe we're not going to Dhanvad with this top off and having some nice drinks.
Yes.
Maybe we're going
Yeah.
into Jen for a bit more yin, maybe a bit more, you know, slow down.
Yes.
And yeah, I think there's something for everyone, particularly on that app. But it's so good to see like your face. And we've been fortunate enough here on the podcast to interview a couple of names on the Travis, obviously the CEO, was on.
Yeah, Travis, another great
We've had
guy.
Mike and David
Yes.
Florence. And who else do we have? Noah Ayan, who's just recently joined. And now you could self like, it's amazing. So many people that I love on that
Amazing.
app. It's incredible.
And we're all
But
so different as well, which is brilliant. You know, as you say, we are all so
100%.
different.
And we need
And
that.
that's what I love. Totally. And the support, the performance side is absolutely brilliant of the app, which is really, really cool. So, you know, I love the fact that I can get and show my ice immersions and things like that. I've got loads more to go on there. It's just, you know, this is how you do it. Yeah.
So let's talk a bit more detail about the breath and the ice, and maybe, you know, for anybody that is hearing about this for the first time. Maybe they've actually finally got ears to hear that maybe breathwork and ice is something that they might want to be trying. It's just breathing, isn't it? Like,
yeah, that's all we ever do. We breathe. What is 200 pound? Was it 20,000 pound? I can't even think now. Oh my God, my stats are gone now. But yeah, we just breathe so often, organically, don't we? We just do. But when you actually consciously breathe, you're connecting your conscious mind with your subconscious mind, aren't you? You're just bringing yourself and you're connecting your heart and your soul and your mind together. And it's just the modality that can actually have an influence on your nervous system. You know, it's so powerful.
I think I learned that intuitively, because in my police days, I used to brief senior officers all the time, chief constables, police and crime commissioners. And I learned that I needed to slow my breathing down to be more effective, like to really slow the heart rate, to be calm, to be less, not speaking so fast and erratic. And I guess I intuitively learned that. That wasn't really a training. It's just something I discovered that really worked. And then I listened to the book Breath by James Nestor, and it just blew my mind about the impact of not even knowing how we just don't breathe properly. That there was something he said about, you know, how sometimes when we're working, we do these like micro pauses of like, we just hold our breath. And I was like, you know, sometimes you get an email through and you're holding your breath. You don't even realize it. You're not being conscious of it. And he says our organs are constantly being starved of oxygen because we're not breathing deeply or getting the oxygen around the body. And then he was talking about like the impact of mouth breathing. I was like, oh, so I started taping my mouth at night. And that's just, so I've started to retrain myself to be a nose breather now. I got a bit of a rugby nose, a bit of a bend in it. Breathing through the nose was never really pleasant to begin with, but I've retrained it and it becomes what I think is now my default. And now I can hear my son, you know, sometimes I'm like, Corey, breathe through your mouth. And it's just like,
it's really,
at him. He's only 11. Do you know what I mean?
It's brilliant. And it's just so powerful. And I say to my clients, you know, your mouth should be for speaking and eating. You know, the mouth, there's no benefits unless it's like an emergency breath or you're swimming or whatever. It's just like, but the, you know, the physical benefits of breathing for your nose are just phenomenal. And so often, you know, my clients will come to me and they just never, ever breathe through their nose. They just feel that it's quite really uncomfortable and it's something they've never done. And they're the ones that so need it, you know, and it's just like, you're like, you take in 20% more oxygen, that nitric oxide dilates the veins, capillaries, enabling you to take in more oxygen. And it just slows everything down. So just by slowing things down and just increasing that tolerance to CO2, it just enables you then to reoxygenate your blood. And it just takes it right down low into the lungs. And it's just such simple technique that you wouldn't even realize that just the benefits of nasal breath. And, you know, and I went to the gym the other day to do a CrossFit session for an hour, and I'm rocking up with my mouth taped and they're going, really? And I go, and it's just like easier. You just shut your mouth with the most kindest, being as polite as possible. And so when people are getting into my ice bath, it's all about the breath. It's just about slowing it right down, because what you're doing is you're activating that parasympathetic nervous system, taking you out of fight and flight into this calm and restorative space. You know, we cannot heal, we cannot mend unless we're resting in that restful state, you know, and there is a need for that fight and flight, because actually, you know, sometimes we want to be hypervigilant, you know, maybe if you're going to do a presentation or you've got a really important meeting, you think, right, I really want to be on it, I want to be on my A game. But it should only last for 20 minutes, because it's back to 200,000 years ago when there's a tiger around the corner. And if you hadn't escaped in 20 minutes, you'd been eaten anyway. You know, so it's just about just learning how to just slow everything down. And, you know, and I can talk fast, you know, that's just something I do. My mind works really fast. I can speak really fast, but I've learned just how to slow it down. And just, you know, the cognitive benefits for being more mindful and just taking in more oxygen is just phenomenal. It aids longevity. You look younger, reduces anxiety, it lowers your blood pressure. You know, the ice increases your immune system. It helps to increase that brown fat. You know, and I, without a shadow of a doubt, it's helped me on my weight loss journey. So the breath slows it down, it reduces the cortisone. When you've got cortisone in your body, that can slow down the weight loss journey. Yeah, it's just magic and it's free. And people don't realize, and a lot of people, it's becoming a lot more popular and a lot more well known, which is just absolutely wonderful. But when done correctly, it's just so powerful.
Sometimes I see the comment section and, comment section of people that are doing it. They're like, oh, show me the stats, show me the stats. And I think what they forget is that they're the most important data point, right? Get the experience.
Yes.
Don't just
Yeah.
sit there and intellectually rely on some statistics, whether you try something, just give it a go.
Mm.
Like, when people are like, oh, I'm not really sure, I'm not really sure, I think that's really bad for you. Just give it a go. Give it a go. Observe how you think and feel in that situation. And if it's good for you, do it again. If it's not, all right, well, maybe do it one more time just to give it benefit of the doubt. And if not, but stop. But I think these people that are just so relying on stats are just
I
like
know, and it's
missing an
yeah,
opportunity.
and I agree, and it's just about actually, and more often than not, people that go breathe. Oh, yeah, breathe anyway. They're the ones that really need to learn how to slow it all down. And I had a lady that came to my class the other day. She said, "Oh my God, your breath work so helped me on the slopes the other
100%.
day." She said, "I had a really bad fall. I was crying my eyes out. I almost had a panic attack, and I could just hear your voice, and I just breathed through the nose, and I slowed it all down." And I think that's what it's all about. If it can help you in
100%.
everyday life, then it's going to have benefits. If it can give you more resilience, it can help you become more tolerant. It helps you just deal with difficult situations, then it's a win-win. Give it a go.
The implications are everywhere, right? So, I said earlier about the presentation. So public speaking, there's a use for that. Even with my kids, so sometimes Brooke can get a bit overwhelmed and a bit worked up over, bickering with like kids in the street,
Yes.
right? And I'll just like breathe, just slow it
Breathe.
down. And then all of a sudden, the rational side of things comes back rather than the monkey mind. And there's so many kind of just daily leadership, speaking,
Yes.
parenting, like it's about bringing us back to that's the resilience part, isn't it? It's bringing us back to ourselves quicker.
Totally. It's just making you, and it's always, yeah, it's just about making you just so much more present, because anxiety is all about, and I'm sure you've been there, and I know I have. You can waste a whole weekend worrying about Monday morning, and then Monday morning comes and it never happens. So it's just for me, because I did suffer with high functioning anxiety, and I still do. There's some days I wake up and I think, I feel really overwhelmed. I feel really anxious today. Now I know what to do. I'll go for a walk, I'll drink a pint of water, and then I'll get in the ice bath. And then I know those three things will really, really help me. But the anxiety is about actually how I manage that. It's just about being mindful. So anyone that's feeling slightly overwhelmed, or that anxious feeling, tightness in the chest, tightness in the throat, headache, it's just about, if you are being mindful in that moment, it's almost impossible to feel anxious. Because anxiety is about worrying about a future event. It's about when your mind is running and it's processing and thinking and da da da. But if you're actually and peeling it right back to those senses, what can I hear? What can I smell? What can I see? What can I touch? Can I feel my clothes on my body? And then when you're actually trying to do that, and then your mind's drifting, just kind of do it with the breath. And then I find for me that's like, oh, okay. So
I think
sod
there's a word for it,
tomorrow.
isn't it? There's a word for it that it brings us back into coherence.
Totally. And that coherent breath is just so effective. That sort of functional, just the, you can do longer exhalations to the inhalations. That's always really, really effective. Small breath holds, that's really effective. It's just so many different beautiful techniques just to bring. And when you can bring your heart into coherence, and that's when you can really just feel the head and heart, bringing them all into coherence together. It's just so powerful of bringing you not only into really calm space, but into a real loving space. So when you're breathing and then you're just visualizing a real beautiful moment, a memory, something that fills your heart with love. And then you're just, it's just so powerful what you can do, and helps that internal narrative and those challenges.
I love the little pieces that I pick up along the way that all kind of point to an inner truth. So you've got like things like prayer, 2,000-year-old practices of prayer, which often start with gratitude. And then you hear things from like Joe Dispenza, which says that you don't gain access to the quantum field unless you're in a state of love, this energetic state of love. And then when you hear about this, this coherent breathing, what that does is it makes oxytocin flow through the body. And then Joe Dispenza's work says, well, the production of oxytocin inhibits the production of cortisol, which is the stress chemical. So all these things kind of point to each other. And then Jesus says, no one gets to the Father except through me. And I think that's not a condition. That's basically saying no one gets to the quantum field except through a state of love. I think it's the same thing. Like,
yeah, totally.
So much wisdom. And I think the ancients kind of knew this about the power of the coherence and the spirit without maybe the scientific technology to back it up. They had the wisdom to know that this was the gateway, gratitude and prayer and slowing down and breathing. And dare I say, fasting is part of that too.
Yeah, totally. And also visualization as well. It's just super powerful. You know, all encompassing. It's just absolutely just brings that heart and your just mind to in that real peaceful space. It's just super powerful, super powerful.
You mentioned a weight loss journey. It's I'm not sure those three words do justice to quite the journey you've been on. Tell us about your last what?
Yeah, I think it just goes to prove how our mind and bodies is just so connected. You can't say that if your mental health isn't well, then your physical health is. It's all it comes. The mind and body are all one. And when I went through this, very challenging mental health journey, I knew I needed to heal internally, externally. So when I say internally, I'm in my heart, my mind, my soul, but also then externally, I look at that as my body. And so I dealt with my mind first, and then I knew my body would follow. So I had gained a considerable amount of weight over the years through a bad relationship with food, through putting everyone else first and thinking. I can remember when having some counselling once, and the counsellor said to me, why do you feel that you're so unimportant that you can't find an hour a day to exercise, but you can find time for everybody else? I can remember thinking, God, really? God, that's a real, that was when you put it like that.
Like a wet fish around the face.
Yeah, it was like, blimey, thanks, mate. cheers, that's what I'm paying you for, I suppose.
Here's the bill, yeah.
here's the bill, thanks. Yeah, so it was about, how many weeks? Week 60, because it's weighing day to day. Yeah, so 60 weeks ago, I decided that I was in the space that I wanted to address my physical health. So my mental health was really, really strong, but I knew my physical health. And as a consequence of my physical health, I did have this really quite scathing internal narrative, which was constantly, and you know that because you're my coach and we would speak and it always would come back to the weight. And I can remember saying to you, clear as day, I've got control of everything in my life. My career's amazing, da, 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 but my weight's not. He said, well, actually, that's the only thing you've got control of. And I went, really? Thanks, Ryan. Pay you the bill. Cheers, mate. Never slap on the fish face. But it's so true. So true. When now I've done that journey. Yeah. So in that.
So what was your why for that journey?
My why. There was a couple of whys. A big why was my grandchild. So they had relocated and I knew I was going to be looking after a 2-year-old and I was nearly 19 stone, 18 and a half stone. And just to do the simplest physical task was quite difficult. Even though I had a good level of fitness, I was still running, I was still walking loads, but getting up and down to change her. And I just wanted to be my best version for my granddaughter, but also for myself and my family. Also, my mum was seriously ill and I knew it was only a matter of time. And I just wanted to be my best physical and mental strength for when she passed, because I just wanted to have that resilience. Because I knew that was inevitable. So those two big things. And then also, it's also about, for me, because I'm in the wellness industry, it's about also walking the walk as well. Yeah. So I used to be quite conscious when I'm running my events, and I used to be really honest. People knew about my journey and I said, I'm a work in progress, and the weight will come off. And my ladies now come back each year and they go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, is this the same person? And it's so lovely that my clients have been on my journey week, and I've inspired so many of them as well. So cut long story short, I've lost 7.5 stone, 106 pounds, 48 kilos, something like that. I've lost track now. And since then, I've become an ambassador for the Francis Diet, which is the plan that I was on, which is amazing. And so I've broken their age demographic as well, because all their ambassadors are in their 40s and 30s and 20s. That's great. Yes, it's amazing that the turns life does, but I feel now better. I just feel better.
It's interesting because we term it a weight loss journey, but I'd love to know what you think you've gained.
I feel that the weight loss is just a byproduct. It's just that's a really small part of what I've gained. So I have gained now probably 90% clearer headspace. So that internal narrative of every single day thinking what you're going to wear, oh, you can't get in this, can't get in that. You don't. It is so over-consumed. It just consumed me because I knew I wasn't my best version. I knew that and it's just like the other day I just had this epiphany and it's like, oh my God, bodies are so unbelievably amazing.
Yeah.
My body looked after me when I didn't look after it. I wasn't on any medication. I didn't have diabetes. I didn't have blood pressure. I was carrying 8 stone too much weight and my body was just been waiting for my mind and my heart to catch up and care for it. And it's just like it actually, and one of my ladies came in, she said, I read your post. She said, I was crying at that. She said, because it's just made me, and now I've lost 11 pounds since I read that post. You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah,
and it's just, and so I love, and I feel now that my body is now in a position that I can heal more. I've got more capacity to do what I was put here to do because I'm just healthier. And it's not about body shame or anything like that. This is my journey. Everyone's bodies are beautiful. And, you know, no one's ever happy with what they've got, but just please be happy with what you've got because that is your vessel to enjoy what everything life has to offer. And now I'm a bit lighter. It cost my husband loads of money or us loads of money because I had to buy a new wardrobe. But and I'm just like,
for every season.
I'm just so much energy. Like I've already been out and done 10,000 steps today, you know, and I'm going to go in the ice later. Then I'm going to go to the gym and then I'm going to bang out loads of work because I've just got so much more energy. And I just, so yeah, I can't even remember what the question was, but
no, it's good.
The weight loss is really, I think I've answered it indirectly. Yeah.
It's, I think one of the phrases that I've always had close to my heart is that you never build anything you love by hating it.
Yes, you know, you used to say that to me. Yeah, no plant grew without love.
Yeah, whether that's with a body, whether that's a home, whether that's a job, or nothing grows by hating it. And yeah, it's really powerful. And I love the fact you just, it's the ripple effect.
I think I probably did, and I did probably hate it a little bit. Maybe hate's quite a strong word, but I don't want to say hate, but I didn't love it enough.
Well, it's like, you know, sometimes the whole self-love narrative isn't about, can I give myself more baths and love? And sometimes it's about, can I reject myself less? Can I accept myself more? Can I reject myself less? Because self-love is not, I put forward my light. It is, can I accept my shadow, my dark?
Yes.
Can I integrate all of it? And then the byproduct is, well, okay, well, now I evolve. Now I unfold as I should be because I've got both parts of me working together rather than an internal war that's constantly going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the positivity and the gratitude. I know you're saying where did your journey first start? And I think actually, even before the Reiki, my journey started with the positivity and gratitude. So my Instagram started and it was about posting a positive and a gratitude post every day. And that has really helped with mindset and through the healing is just that positive, always turning things around to whatever's happening, just looking for those very small little pearls of gratitude and going to bed fueled with gratitude. And, you know, there's so much research that says that if you're going to bed feeling grateful, then you're likely you'll wake up more positive and
too blessed to be stressed.
But life is still challenging. It's not all you know, springy lambs and roses. You know, there's still lots of digging deep and having to deal with lots of different things. But I think when you are healthier and mentally stronger, then you can deal with a lot more that comes your way.
I put a post up yesterday which talked about, can we get ourselves to a point where we're grateful in the valleys? Can we worship or can we praise in the lion's den? And I think that's a real kind of like spiritual martial arts, isn't it? Getting ourselves to a point where we can look at whatever's going on and not necessarily go, oh yeah, give me more of this bad stuff. It's actually saying, do you know what? I am still blessed within this bad stuff. And
totally.
And it's almost like the phrase is like the storm before the calm. The storm comes, the stresses and the pressures. It's an invitation for us to go inwards and create the calm and, you know, breath and ice. Mm. It doesn't change your circumstances, but it changes our inner world to be able to deal with those circumstances.
Yeah, and the only thing, it's about actually worrying about what you actually can control. And that, because, and I say that to my children and things like that, it's about what can you control in this environment at the moment, and that's all you need to actually focus on.
So
You know,
you've
you can't control what people think about you, you can't control how other people behave, you can't control these external influences, but you can control how you react, how you feel, through the breath, through having a cold shower, through exercising, through eating, just getting off the sugar, just eating healthier.
One of the things I saw you do recently is you filled two suitcases up. Tell us about that.
Well, we went away to Spain to do some shooting for the Breath Source app and for our own branding, and because it's much better weather than West Wales. It's all it
Chin
ever does
up.
is rain here, even though it is dry today. That's when you celebrate. See, that's when you really know that you're grateful for small things. You open the window and think, yes, it's dry for a walk. That's just a blessing. I was pulling the and I can remember we were walking up this hill. And this is the hill that we've always walked up getting to the apartments. And we had the two suitcases, and both suitcases were 23 kilos each. And I just made that connection. I'm thinking, I'm walking up this hill, and Chris was pulling the suitcase. I had one, he had one. And I went, oh my God, this is really heavy. This is one suitcase. I went, that's two. These two suitcases is what I have lost. So the last time, Chris, I walked up this hill, I was 46 kilos heavier. I went, I need to capture this. And I need to actually do it to see what it feels like pulling both these suitcases up the hill. And we captured it. And I just, even now, and that's when I made that connection is, oh my God, my body's amazing. It looked after me when I wasn't looking after it. But bloody hell, that was really hard work. And I'm thinking, well, where does it go? Where did that weight? Because, and I know I was a lot bigger, but that is so much weight. I literally couldn't physically pull it. So how did I carry it? And then I just made me, it was just a heavy heart and a heavy mind, let alone a heavy body. But yeah, it was a really good visual to see. Really, really good. So if anyone's on any weight loss journey, just make sure every pound counts. Even if it's just a pound, you carry that pound around in a bag for a while, for a day, or 2 pounds or a kilo, it really starts to weigh. I wear a weighted jacket now, weighted ankle thingies, and then I'll have like 10 kilos on, if I'm 12 kilos if I'm going for a walk extra, and it feels like someone's sat on your shoulders. And I think that's only a quarter of what I've lost. Yeah, so that was a really good visualization for me, and that was a real wow.
So when you look at Jen's page and she's walking through the doors and she's giving it this and that,
Oh, my
she's lost
wiggle wiggle
actually
wiggle Wednesdays.
so much of that is an external manifestation of what you've just said around your heart and your mind being so much lighter and freer.
Totally. And everyone loves to watch that little Wiggle Wednesday. And and Chris is my he's my just been my biggest cheerleader. He's almost saying, well, it's Wednesday, you're gonna wiggle through the door. And I'm like, oh man, I can't be bothered to brush my hair today. I might miss it out today. Oh my God, I didn't sleep very well. I'm going for a walk instead. But yeah, it's just yeah, and it's not just about the fact you've lost the weight, it's about that your mind's just so much clearer and you can outrun your kids. Much to their disgust.
Well, I think there's a point where it gets, we talk about this a lot within our group, which is about we get to a point of integration. You go out, you have a journey, you become someone in the process, and our job is then to integrate the new thing into who we are. And I think that's such a powerful thing because, with the ice baths, with the breath, with the walking, with the nutrition, a lot of it starts to become an expression of who you are and who you want to be rather than, oh, I'm being punished. I have to do these things because I'm living out of fear. If I don't do this, then I don't. We have to get to a point where we integrate all of that stuff into that's just who we are now. That's just what we do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and it just becomes a way of life, doesn't it? And I know now it is 100% who I am, because I actually feel awful if I don't go for a walk. I would rather go out at 9 o'clock at night than sit and watch Netflix, because I get so much pleasure. It's just from listening to a podcast and just going for a walk and moving. So I know that it's totally integrated, but I think also, but it does, you do need to take time to integrate, and you need to take time to reflect on your successes and without looking back, but just, I don't want, not looking back, but just reflect. And you, it's something you make me do, stop, just
So
reflect. And I do that now a lot.
do
It's
we all need to
nice.
go to Costa Rica then to do that integration? Is that what you're saying?
No, no, you need to come to Seedlings to do that integration, not Costa Rica.
Haha, yeah,
No,
that's very good.
yeah. Costa
So,
Rica was amazing. That was fabulous. That was good.
why did you
That's
go?
good. I went there to a couple of reasons. Firstly, the teacher is absolutely phenomenal. Sam Vaccini, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Vaccini, yeah. Amazing. And so I wanted to be part of her learning. I wanted to learn more about yoga, yin, the restorative yin, because I'm very much, my breath is very much in the yin, and I just thought the two would complement. And also a little bit of independent travel. It's about my own personal growth, about carrying my own suitcases and flying, getting on a plane and doing it all myself. Because, you know, it's not something I've never done. I've encouraged my children to do that. They've had their GARP year, but I've never had my GARP year. So I had my GARP 3 weeks or things. And it was just absolutely fabulous. And the gratitude I've got still now and the feeling of growth I gained from that was just phenomenal. So, and then, yeah, and I've got my clients going, when's the class starting? So I put it out yesterday and I've sort of like filled my class. It's just like madness. A bit like you say, just get on and do it. And you think, okay. I sort of do it as I go along.
Love that.
It's
I
amazing.
want to acknowledge the fact that you said you lost your dear mother last year. I think
Yes.
we both had a period of grief last year, and you know, and I understand that your mum had a vision for you and in your life, like, and before you even knew that that was possible.
Totally.
What was
Yeah.
it that your
Well,
mum used to say to you?
Jennifer, live in the moment. Stop planning. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. She used to say that all the time. Because I was a terrible planner. I could have told you my 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, 20 year plan. Which is nice to have some form of structure and some form of vision,
Well, it's
but
strategic policing at
I'm,
its heart, isn't it, really?
yeah, of course it is, yeah. But I never enjoyed the moment. It was a constant, you know, and it wasn't until really that she was so unwell that I, you know, it's a shame that I couldn't sort of explain that I really do get it now, and actually that is now my path. It's just uncanny. If I do 20, I remember when my husband left, so it was 2020 year 2000. She was there, and it was all about enjoy the moment. This is the first day of the rest of your life. You know, when I'm snot, snot coming out my nose, and I'm a single parent at 32, and but she's always so unbelievably positive, and
Bless
I
her.
also feel that the universe has almost put me on this path to help me prepare for my mum passing. I've just had so many tools to help me through that journey. I don't know when, you know, the night before she passed, we all went different, you know, we all had to shoot off and have showers. I come back and I just went straight in the ice bath. And I actually recorded it actually because I thought this is a really special moment. This is unbelievably powerful. This ice is helping me get through my mum passing. I can't explain the power because it just, when you're in the ice and it was really cold, it was about 2 degrees, you cannot think of anything else. You're in that moment of just being the most. The peace is phenomenal. It's if you've got these earmuffs on and there's complete silence, all you can hear is your breath and your heart. And I just needed that as a to help. And I just thought, thank you, universe, for just being there and helping me through this
Powerful.
hideous situation.
Well, and that's it. And you to and that gratitude isn't a intellectual list thing, it's a feeling thing. And in that moment, even though your body's being blasted by ice cold water, to get your spirit into a state of gratitude, like actual appreciation for it all, that's a spirit thing, not an intellectual algorithm thing. And the word I've written down here as you were speaking is it's a state of acceptance. You know that when you lead people into that ice, you're trying to get them into a state of calm and acceptance, because if they're fighting it and rejecting it, they're jumping straight out, right?
Yes.
If they don't accept the circumstances, they can't then get to a point where they get to the state you're talking about. And the same's true of life and grief, is the quicker we can get to a state of acceptance, then, you know, like the Buddha would say, is that if we're not accepting our circumstances, then that breeds suffering. And the two can
Thanks.
be true, right? We can both grieve but not wish it was anything different. And
No.
that's what I've kind of been balancing the last sort of 6 to 9 months, is being grateful for the life and the legacy of my nan, appreciating all and resisting the desire and the wish for it to be anything different, because that would be a root of deeper suffering.
Totally. You know, and that my mum had Parkinson's, as you know, and that, you know, my mum, you know, she got it at 58, so she's unbelievably young. She was so fit, she's vegetarian, she didn't drink. You know, nobody knows what life has to offer you. And I suppose, you know, it's just it, you know, we accepted that the illness, and just my mum's resilience was phenomenal. The learnings I got from my mum was unreal. She's tenacious. She never once moaned about her condition, and she was unbelievable. So I learned so much from my mum, and she was just such a big part of my children's lives as well. Beautiful relationship, and it was really sad, really, really sad, but really right for her. You know, it was the right time for my mum to pass, and the fact that we were able to be there for her through that process is a blessing, and very, very magical woman. And I still will, I can hear her voice now, and that's really bizarre because my mum lost her voice probably 6 months before she passed. That's just part of Parkinson's. You lose the ability to speak. Occasionally, she'd speak. I can remember once I went in to visit her, and she went, "What have you done to your hair? It looks like a bird's nest." It's like, "Oh my God, mum, you haven't spoken to me for 2 months, and you told me." I said, "You're still there." She was just, her sense of humor was absolutely insane. But I can't remember what I'm saying now.
Oh, good. I remember hearing this. I remember hearing this quote. I'm not going to get the quote right, but I'll paraphrase. It was about Walt Disney, and so someone was talking to Walt Disney's wife after he'd passed, and talking about Disney World, and this person said to his wife, "Oh, it's a real shame that he didn't get to see what it became," and her response was, "Make no mistake. He saw this before it became a reality." And it's that nod to sometimes the visionaries see it before it's real. And I think the same is true of your mom. Like, she could see this future version of you before you became who you are today. So, like, take heart from that. I know that your mom, this version of you that she's looking down, she's like, "Ha, I knew she was there. I knew it was always there." And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think what I was saying before I drifted off is that I can actually hear her voice now, which is wonderful. So I can hear all those wonderful wise quotes that she gave me as a child and a young adult, and they come in through my healings and my work all the time. So the legacy lives on, and
The
hopefully.
legacy leaves on, and both as much as the legacy leaves backwards, it goes forwards. You know, like being a good, you know, people talk about being a good descendant, you know, looking to our ancestors, but we are today's ancestors, you know. So the thing that you're leaving, the legacy in your children, the possibilities you're creating for them by leading, you know, your two boys, your granddaughter, you know, the support, and I know that you've provided, family is so important to you. Like, it's amazing how much the ripple effect will continue to lead for generations because of the wiped out to warrior that you've become.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely.
You know that we talk about a word here at Always Better Than Yesterday. It's called heartprint, which is like the ripple effect, the legacy, the possibilities. You know, what do you hope your heartprint will be, Jim?
I just hope it would just be that, just to find that space, just to be. It's so simple, yet so difficult, because until you actually experience that real ability, just to giving yourself permission just to be and just to slow down. Because you cannot serve anyone else unless you have served yourself first. That is just my biggest learning. You know, otherwise, because when you're on empty, you're no use to anyone. It's like, you know, I keep driving my car, and I won't fill it up. And then suddenly it's conked out and it's no use to anyone. So, yeah, it's just, and love as well. Just be, oh, so many. It's just,
Isn't
I need to think of one strap line, but it's just,
it?
there's so many things that drive me. It's just that kindness and love.
Yeah, I just would love people to hear in their heart and their mind right now is that this idea, if you can't give what you've not got, imagine how much you can give if you've got a lot. You know, whether not that's not just like a that's not like physical resources, that's like energy, love, kindness. Like, imagine like how much we can give and love and serve So it's this idea that self-care is not selfish, but it's actually providing those that we love with a better version of us.
100%. And we've got, I feel that now we've got a massive responsibility to care for ourselves so that we can then be also less of a burden on our children when we're older. You know, it's about actually make and let and just so we can remain independent for as long as possible. It's almost peeling it back to that's basic. But then when you're in a position that you are overflowing with abundance and gratitude and positivity and love and wellness, just you can just give so much more back, so much more. Because I've done it from both ends. I've done it from when I've been really empty and I've still been serving everybody else, really empty, literally, you know, my pants are, you know, I was just like the, I can't even think of what the saying is. But then now I'm doing it from a position of I really am serving with what I'm overflowing with, and it's just feels so much better. You just have so much more to give, and your
Love that.
business grows, and your physical strength grows, and your happiness, everything just is just growing because you actually have finding that time to serve yourself. As we always say, it's not selfish, it's self-full.
Right, selfulness, 100%, and it's true to the tagline: seedlings, environments that.
Nurture growth.
There you go.
And
Inside, outside, all around. Come and spend time with Jen. Spend time in the presence of Jen, Chris, Mabel on the west coast of Wales, or maybe online on the Breath Source app. I'll share all your good links in the show notes. But where is the best place for people to find out about more about you, your work, maybe start a conversation?
Instagram's a real awesome. You know, I do work. I am on Facebook, but Instagram's great. Just DM me, and I'm just there. Whether it's in relation to sort of the health journey, wanting to have a retreat, whether you're looking to become, you know, learn the breath, the ice, the weight, anything really. I'm just here, just, and it's just there's no agenda. It's just to share what I've learned, and if it can help one person, then I've achieved what I've wanted to achieve.
Love it. Jen, thank you so much for your heart. Thank you so much for being here. And beyond, if you'd leave us a final thought from your good self.
Just treat everyone as if they're a small child that you truly love with respect and kindness.
Love it. Thank you, Jen. Hey, my friends, thank you for making it to the end. I hope that our time spent together today has left you a little bit better than before you push play. I'd really appreciate if you just took a moment to leave a review to allow me to meet more people where they are and hopefully leave them a little bit better too. If you're curious to know how I, through Always Better Than Yesterday, can serve you, your team, your organization, then head to alwaysbetterthanyesterday.com to connect. And while you're there, let me know one or two things that you're going to do as a result of listening to this conversation. I absolutely love hearing your thoughts, your reflections, and the things that this spark in your own heart and mind. If you want more insights from my heart and mind, I do send out short episodes on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And again, I hope that they serve you well. I appreciate you listening. I'm Ryan Hartley, host of the Always Better Than Yesterday podcast, a podcast for heart-centered leaders just like you. Keep leading, my friends. Always love.